So, have you seen this program on the History Channel called, right, I'm going to spell it, PAWN Stars?
Yeah.
Right, so I'm not going to say the word, but have you seen that program? Yeah, right, do you like it?
Yeah, it's excellent.
Right, do you know what I keep thinking? Because people bang on about Levy being a fantastic negotiator. I reckon we should get that guy in to negotiate our deals.
Yeah, he'd definitely do a good job anyhow.
He's brilliant, isn't he? Especially or the old man, he's even better. Because
Yeah,
they just
well.
say a figure and he goes, "Well, you're not getting that." And then it's brilliant.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Wednesday, the 1st of October, 2014. I'm Steve. We've got Colin. How are you doing, Cole?
Yeah, well, doing a bit better than last week, anyhow.
Yeah, that was good to get out of the system, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, look, there's times that you have to, and we always try and be as honest and try and say it how it is, and that's just the way I felt last week. I think it's the way you felt, and you know, there's no point in beating around the bush. You know, you've gotta just put it out there because that's what a lot of other people are saying as well. So, no,
yeah.
It was good, but like wee bit more upbeat hopefully this week, but still not overly happy either. But we'll get
no,
into
but,
it.
You know, it's on a slight rise. Let's get into it then, mate. We played. You know, we get onto the Nottingham Forest game. We're dipping in and out of that as we talk about the Arsenal game. So, you know, let's set the scene then. So, I was in my kitchen. I've got a kitchen come diner room type thing at my house where I sent everybody out for the day so I could have the TV, and I set it all up, and I had the nachos and dips and a few beers lined up. Some nice light hours. Do you like the old craft beers, Carl?
Yeah, I don't mind. I mind. Any beer will do me.
Couple of IPAs, very nice. I'm getting old, so it's no longer the lagers anymore. I'm trying to get into it. Yeah, any beer will do you, I know. But you get nice beers in Northern Ireland, that's the thing. Anyway, so like that's where I was, watching the telly, and then I was all over the place, all different positions throughout the game. So how about you, mate?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I was at work, and don't finish till just after 5:30, so it was literally out of work. Into the car, radio on, talk sport, and listen to about the first 15 minutes getting up home.
Yeah.
And like I said last week, I sort of wasn't really looking forward to it. And I don't think many of us really do enjoy these games. So I sort of got into the house and get in and the room here, me and Christopher, both down, sitting down watching it. And I was really quite relaxed, Steve, to be honest with you, because I really didn't expect us to get a result. And even whenever it was scored, I didn't get overly excited because I just sort of knew, look, it's going to come. It's going to come at some stage. But, you know, towards the end, I was just inside myself, you know, shouting at the TV, right, just blow the whistle. You know, I had to bit your arm off for a draw before the game. So
from the car, how long did it take you to get from the car into your front room?
No. I took my time. You know, I was very relaxed, wasn't overly worried about the game, to be honest with you, and I just went in, took my time, and probably 2 or 3 minutes, had a quick chat to the wife, but I could hear it on the background, Christopher, he was sitting watching it,
yeah.
So then, get into the seat, and then that was it, but, you know...
Right, so you're all being calm, how you doing, love, you alright, and all that, oh, I saw many shirts today, she's back to you, like, yeah, strolled in, sat down, within how many seconds were you then on the edge of your seat going, come on?
well, it's the usual, you know, tried not to shout this time, tried not to shout too much, but, you know, obviously I didn't see the first 15 minutes, you know, on the TV, but it was just one of those games, Steve. You know yourself, when we're playing Arsenal, it's so hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's so unenjoyable. You know, you just can't relax. I actually relaxed, like, myself. I was over with you a couple of years ago at White Hart Lane when we beat Arsenal 2-1. Slightly more relaxed, actually, I think, when you're in the stadium, because you can see everything that goes on. The TV angles sometimes can be quite confusing, you know, and sometimes I think just being on the ground, you can be a wee bit more relaxed watching the game.
And when you're 2-0 up, it helps.
Yeah, well, not usually. You know, usually when you're 2-0 up.
That game we were, weren't we? So.
Yeah, we were 2-0. You know, to get into the game, strange game. Obviously, Pochettino set his team out, you know, and he done great what he done, you know, to get like a defensive there, looking to catch them on the counter-attack. And to be fair to Spurs, in that first half, we probably had 3-4 really good breakaways, really, really good chances. But it was that final ball. You know,
it's rare, though, isn't it, to see that from Spurs, to play on the break.
It was, but it was effective, Steve. It really.
Yeah. Oh no, I enjoyed it. It was like watching Man United.
Yeah.
When they used to do that, you know, which
exactly.
was so fantastic at. But it was strange watching Spurs do that, and I just thought, come on, you know, show your quality. Yeah. Go on, carry on, mate.
That's it. That was my biggest thing about the whole game, was, you know, come on, you know, we're Tottenham. You know, we're not a championship. We're not a bottom of the table team. You know, let's have a go as well. But, you know, it seemed to be quite effective. It was just that final pass, Steve. You know, there was one, I forget who it was that was breaking, and he just had a simple pass out to Lamella, who broke on the right, and he passed it in to Chadley, I think it was, who then tried that stupid back heel. But, you know, there was great chances. There was the one with Adebayor outstretched his leg, had a great chance. He actually had a good shot, which was saved by Chesney, and... You know, so all the chances seem to be with us. I actually never felt in any real danger that Arsenal were going to score. You know, if you think of the last two or three seasons at the Emirates, you always felt, you know, with Carzola and players like this, that they were going to pop up and do something fantastic. I didn't have that feeling this time. And I actually, when we went into the second half, had a sneaky feeling. I went, do you know what? I think we're going to score. I think we're going to sneak one. But you always had that thing that Arsenal were always going to get that chance, and unfortunately, and look, what a scrappy goal as well. You know, if that had been us when that cross went in, Danny Welbeck done the air shot, our player would have connected with it and it would have hit Rosette. That's exactly what would have happened. But, you know, it was a good fighting performance, Steve. I would like to see us try a wee bit more, just be a wee bit more creative, be more confident on the ball. You know, we've got good players there. You know, go and show our skills and what we're about, but maybe it just wasn't to be, you know, one of those games. I think it was more so about him getting a result after what had happened to West Brom, which is hopefully going to settle things down.
Yeah, or more importantly, what happened last year. I mean, don't forget, and this hit home as I was leaping around when we scored the goal, that when was the last time you leapt around? Dyer, obviously, in the first game. But, you know, last year we beat Man United away, and then for virtually a year, you know, we haven't actually jumped up and leapt around after scoring a goal, because it's been, you know, we've scored goals, but it's been like, you know, good, but not like that, like, you know, like fantastic, you know. And that's what Spurs fans are used to, you know, every couple of weeks. You know, really, really, you know, celebrating goals and loving football and great displays and what have you. But, you know, we just haven't had that for so long. And scoring against Arsenal, obviously, is, as a Spurs fan, is one of the greatest things. And obviously, Arsenal fans scoring against us, you know, they love it as well by the fact that they actually go crazy as well. So, you know, that was great. And to get the result... of 1-1, it was so important, because, you know, we all have Arsenal fans in our lives who try and tell us certain things about our club. You know, Jack Wilshere and whoever else try and, you know, do that fantastically classy chant about us. And, you know, it's just nice that, you know, well, if we are that, you know, S word that you like to call us, well, we've just drawn 1-1 at your place, so, you know, what were you supposed to say about that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and it was great. And if you look at the Arsenal players at the end of the game, you know, they were down, their heads were down, really disappointed. You look at their supporters, I've seen a few YouTube clips of them coming out of the ground, and they were devastated. You know, they couldn't believe that, you know, they hadn't beat Spurs. So, you know, that was nice, and we sort of definitely got one up on them on this game. And especially after such a poor performance against West Brom, I think it just brought a bit of life back to all of us, and that we can sort of believe and hope, you know, when Pochettino, as was said, needs time, gets these players playing better, gets, you know, used to this squad, that we will start then to produce the results. And this year was always got to be about us getting back on our feet. You know, put the top four out of our heads. Yes, we would all love it, but put it out of our heads. You know, we'll talk about the Forest game soon. We're in the League Cup. We've got Brighton at home. Very rarely we get a home draw against lower league teams.
Yeah.
So that's nice, you know, so chances are coming up. But, you know, to finish, you know, to sort of just go a wee bit more into the Arsenal game, Steve, a couple of players we'll have to mention.
Let's go through it, Cole. So, you know, Lloris. Mm-hmm. Lloris was great, wasn't he?
Outstanding. What a save.
Yeah.
You know, it actually, on TV, did you think it was in?
Yes.
Yeah, it looked in, and I know there's been a few things on Twitter and YouTube saying that it actually was in.
I don't think it was.
It wasn't, no go. But what a save. And, you know, he just looked very confident all game, commanding, excellent performance, you know, and showed what a world-class goalkeeper he is.
Yeah, Carl Norton right back, how about that?
Superb. I called it last week.
Yeah, a few people calling it. You know, if we go back a year and a half, you know, when we were talking about other people saying, you know, this guy's a waste of space, what's he playing? And we were saying, you know, the fact is that, honestly, you know, Tottenham have ruined his career because we bought him and we only played him at left back, and he's not a left back. So he lost all his confidence because he was a crummy old left back. And now he's playing a little bit more on the right back role. We can see he's a decent player, and if we can, you know, he should be quite rightly, you know, Walker's cover at right back. You know, Dyer's come in and had a few decent games, so that's why he played. But he switched him round, you know, and like you say, we've got to trust Pochettino at the moment, haven't we? We've got to see, you know, he sees him in training every day, and he went with Norton and he played well.
Yeah, he was excellent. Say, you know, I called it last week and I thought the experienced players needed to be in it, and Norton was definitely one. And the same again, Danny Rose. You know, maybe just that thing that Danny Rose needed was that competition, the kick up the backside. You know, a new manager coming in saying, like, you know, I like you, it's up to you, but now you've got to show us that you want to be in this team.
Yeah.
And he was superb, and he got a load of, you know, the fullbacks always get the abuse. So they do, especially at their away grounds, and they get loads of abuse, I'm sure, the two of them. But the both of them were excellent, outstanding, you know, good, yeah, strong performance.
And Kabul at the centre back, you know, played his best game for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I was about 10 minutes, there was a period, and he was smiling about something. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, wipe the smile off your face. You know, this is the North London derby. Do you know the way he goes up to referees and like gives them a little pat on the shoulder and stuff like that? I'm not sure if I like all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, he's like a, you know, again, like a Man United player going up to the referee, giving them a pat, you know, saying, you know, being that, you know, that huge guy who's not going to be intimidated. You know, it much better than last week when he was an awful captain against West Brom. You know, showed no leadership whatsoever. So much better, and definitely, probably, you know, our man of the match, wasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Maybe last week was the kick up the backside he needed. We don't know what goes on behind the closed doors, and, you know, maybe sat back and watched it, or someone's given him a tune and say, here, you're now captain of this team. You know, stand up and show it, and you cannot fault the guy. He was absolutely superb.
Yeah.
You've seen him talking during the match. You've seen him, you know, shouting at other players, you know, demand the ball, look comfortable. And he was fantastic. We all know Kabul can be like that whenever he's fit.
Yeah.
The big worry, I think, a lot of us Spurs fans have is how fit is he going to stay? But look, he done the business, but he set the mark now. You know, he's got to go and do it again. And the same with Vertonghen. Vertonghen looked like the Vertonghen that we all know.
He's a classy player, Cole.
He's a class player, he is, but he just needs to show it. He's not going to be always smiling and
laughing. Do you know the thing about Vertonghen is that he's a class player and he knows it. And, you know, he's got agents or whatever, and I think he sees bigger things for himself. But just if you got negativity about Vertonghen, which we all do as Spurs fans, and you know we think Spurs is the best, and you know, but just remember players like you know, Rooney and what have you, who said, you know, Wayne Rooney's handed in two transfer requests at Man United. and where is he now? You know, he's playing, he's their captain. Players do get it in their heads, don't they? Especially this day and age. You know, I think I can do better than this. I think I can move on. I think I can do... If we get a decent run of results together and we are in and about the top four come January, I mean, in Vertonghen's mind right now, I think he's thinking, maybe I can get a move in January, certainly next summer. But if we can get a few results together and really do well, get to a cup final, win a cup, then players change their mind. And, you know, when Tim Sherwood talked last year about players thinking they're doing us a favour, there's no doubt he was talking about Vertonghen, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And you know, it's a funny thing to say, but... For me, Vertonghen is such a good player that, yeah, he probably will end up at a bigger club. But if we can, you know, do really, really well, hopefully he'll think, do you know what, I can do it here. What do you think, Cole?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we've got to hope. And I think that's always been our problem with Spurs, you know, that we have like some Modric the way he was, and they'll always, in the end of the day, be looking for that bigger move. But, you know, big things are ahead for Spurs. You know, when the new stadium comes, they'll be able to spend a bit more money probably on wages to some of these guys. And we probably will be able to attract, you know, those better players. But, you know, Vertonghen's just a funny one. I think he likes to raise his game in the big games as well, because, you know, he knows he's being watched and they're the games that he needs to perform in. We need him now to perform when he's playing in the so-called smaller games as well. Now, to be fair, he didn't play against West Brom, so might have been another wee kick up the backside for him as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had a great game. Quickly just move on, because we don't want to go too much through the team. But
I just want to sound up a tongue and think. He's never actually said he wants to leave, like Modric did. And play. So just so there's clarity here, because I know I have said if players say they want to leave, they can go.
Yeah.
If he does say he wants to leave, then he can go, absolutely. But, you know, we can only go on what we know at the moment. Let's not speculate, because that's just boring.
Yeah.
Go on, mate.
Yeah, moving just quickly in the midfield. We don't need to go through them all. Look, there's only one guy I think we need to talk about. It's Ram Mason. You know, I was shocked when I seen his...
Do we have to talk about Ram Mason?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yes. I forgot about that there. Well, what was it you said at the start of last week's show? We don't want to see Ram Mason.
What do we want to see him for?
What do we want to see him for? And we'll get into him in the Nottingham Forest game. Which, that was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
But here, what a big call to put the young fella in the North London derby. And you know what? He came on in the Nottingham Forest game, changed the match completely for us after you saying what you said. Scored a wonder goal, and fair play, he was put in. And Steve, wasn't he brilliant?
He was absolutely fantastic. You know, the reason I said that, of course, wasn't an attack on him, because the fact is I'd never even seen him play. I knew his name, but I'd never seen him play. And I was thinking, you know, let's play this player, that guy. And I'd said to you just before the show, I said, I just went on Twitter, and I've seen someone saying, Ryan Mason, what do we want to play him for? We want to play all these other guys, surely, you know, give them a game. Don't even know who Ryan Mason is. And, of course, he comes on and scores. And then after he scored, people would tweet and saying, you said this, you said that. I said, well, it's invalid unless you tell me before he scores the goal. So you can't come on after he scores and said we should have played him. Because that negates that. But, yeah, I mean, brilliant. I mean, you know, he played really, really well, you know, when he came on there. Great to show someone who wants a bit of desire and someone with a lot of fight.
Yeah.
Like our mate Andros Townsend, who came from the academy. You know, someone said to me, you know, that's a terrible attitude saying we shouldn't play Ryan Mason. We should really support our academy players. I said, oh, great. Well, let's support Mason and Townsend. Not very much back from that. You know, no, one guy did say, yeah, exactly, you know, he agreed with me. But, you know, it's a bit of give and take on this podcast, and of course with Twitter and the Facebook and everything. But listen, you know, all debates, all little mistakes by me, or not very many from you, Colin, admittedly, but all little mistakes from me. Listen, you know, absolutely. And we respond to absolutely everything. And there was the one guy, wasn't there, who was giving a bit of back and forth. And then he sort of said, oh, you don't like being challenged, Steve. And I was like, no, challenge away. Absolutely love it. You know, but expect a response. You know, go to any other podcast and try and get as much response as you do from us. You know, I don't hardly get any response when I sort of, you know, try and get in touch with another podcast. So, you know, no problem. But we will definitely respond if you got a little bit of critique about us. But no, played really well against Arsenal as well. You know, let's not jump the gun. You know, let's not do too much because a couple of years ago, Jamie O'Hara played fantastic against Arsenal. Sandro was awful against Arsenal. Yeah. So, David Bentley, yeah. I mean, so you never know how these things turn up. Let's not put too much pressure on the guy. But no. You know why he played, though, don't you?
In the Arsenal game?
Yeah.
To me, he showed the fight and he absolutely wanted to be there.
By default. Exactly. He played by default because Dembele, who's a World Cup player, and Paulinho, who's a World Cup player, have shown none of that. You know, a little bit here, a little bit there. And Pochettino must see him in training and just go, listen, you know, this is the Arsenal game. This is my career on the line. And I'm going with Ryan Mason, not Paulinho, not Dembele, not one of these other guys. So it must show you how poor these other guys must be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I wouldn't even say that there, but it is showing their lack of fight, and that's the one big thing that I put out there last week, was we want to see people fighting for this shirt. You know, we love Spurs. You know, that'll never change, and as you said earlier, you know, the players don't feel it like we do. But you could see Ryan Mason when he was called from the bench against Forest. The shirt was off, didn't realise, covered in tattoos, and he couldn't wait to get on there, and he showed it, and obviously he's been showing it in training. And what I loved about him as well in the Arsenal game, he wanted to go forward, Steve, when he got the ball. And when he gave the ball, he was always moving in. Funny, I said to Christopher, when he was sitting beside me, said, watch this kid, what he does. When he gave the ball, he moved into space so he could get the ball again. Simple football, but he had a bit of fight and desire. He got stuck into Wilshire, which was brilliant, and he was superb, and that's what we want to see. And I prefer to see 11 Ryan Masons with that attitude play every week for us. Even if we get beat, that's all we want to see, is that people want to go and fight and try and win the games for us. And he was fantastic. For me, Kabul was brilliant, but Mason was my man of the match. So he was, just for being a young lad getting into that game. And tell you what, he showed that tube Jack Wiltshire up for what he is. Absolutely showed him up, and it was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Right, okay. You know, the other midfielders we do have to speak about briefly. You know, you've got Eriksen, who I'm stuttering to explain. Yeah. Go on, Cole. Tell me about Eriksen this season.
Sorry, jumping in on you.
And I've got to say, Cole, we're six games in, and this is when we say, don't we? We say, give these guys 6 to 10 games.
Yeah.
So we're six games in. Most of these players have played every game, so I think it's fair to judge them now.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I agree. I think I'd said the other week I was a wee bit worried with Lamella now on the team. Was it affecting him? But one thing I'll say about Eriksen, and I wanted to, it was a point I did want to bring up tonight, I actually thought he was just getting into the game for us whenever he got substituted.
Yeah, because he won the ball for Flamini.
He won the ball for the goal, and he showed a wee bit of fight and desire, and he'd had the free kick. And I just went, right, he's starting to get into it. We were starting to hold on to the ball. And it was the one big disappointment for me on the game was when he brought Lennon on. Now, to me, the thinking of Lennon coming on was, because we were hitting him so well in the counter-attack, it was that pace that Lennon was going to bring.
Do you? But because I thought you brought Lennon on because of his defensive qualities.
Yeah, I think that as well. But
otherwise, he'd have brought Townsend on to run at them.
I thought it was for maybe the quick breakaways. But I was really disappointed because
I've not seen Lennon on a quick breakaway since we scored the goal in AC Milan.
Yeah, true. But, you know, that was my thinking of it. And
yeah.
I was disappointed because I thought Eriksen was just, he was just starting to get into the game. So I think he just came off that 10 minutes, maybe too early. It would have been interesting just to see after the goal, he probably had a good, you know, bit of confidence after setting, you know, working hard to win the ball back, you know, to give the good pass to Lamella. And so that would have been interesting to see. But it was a wee bit disappointing because really once Lennon came on, Steve, we never actually done another thing. We never once looked forward again.
We gave the ball away a hell of a lot, didn't we?
Yeah, too much.
You know, you're like, you can get lost in the game a lot. And I know with about 20 minutes to go, I don't think we had the ball at all. And then I just thought, oh, do you know, I almost in my head thought, well, I'm going to focus on what's going on here. And I focused on it for the next 5 minutes. A number of times we just gave the ball straight to them.
Yeah.
It was so frustrating, as you would say. And it's that sort of thing that could have so easily gone the other way. But luckily, Arsenal didn't play that well. You know, we were right in the end. I sent quite a funny tweet out, in my opinion, which was based solely on the Ryan Mason thing, where I said, you know, we need to bring Eriksen and Lamella off because what do we want to see them for?
Yeah.
Or something like that. And it was quite funny because about 75% of people sent me back saying, yeah, they're not playing very well, are they? And only a few people sort of said, you're doing the Ryan Mason thing, aren't you, trying to get them to do it? And of course they did. And a few, silly old sods sort of said, what, the guy that's just made the goal and the guy that's, yeah, okay. Yeah. So, anyway, what are our thoughts on Lamella then? What are you thinking? Are you thinking, we're six games in, so let's judge him. You know, and he's the big player. So Eriksen we know about, you know, Chadley, you know, we don't need to talk about Chadley. He's scored some great goals. He's done a couple of great passes. He's in and out of the game. He's a big, strong, tough lad. Fine. We know that Adebayor hasn't played well the last couple of games. Might be tempted to swap him with Soldado. Opinion the same there, Cole?
Yeah, or Harry Kane.
Or Harry Kane, yeah. So we know about that. Let's talk about Lamella. So, six games in, disappointed, happy, can see a great future. What are our thoughts?
Yeah, look, my feeling is I'm happy and I can see a great future.
Okay.
I really can, and I know I've always supported him, even last year when he wasn't playing.
Well, you have. You're the Lamella to what I am with the Townsend.
Yes.
Which is a lot more difficult for me because we're not seeing Townsend in the Premier League. So I'm trying to defend him when we don't really see him. But with Lamella, we're seeing him all the time and you're still saying, yep, you're happy with him and he's going to be great, right?
Yeah, 100%. And
all right.
Okay, he gives the ball away too much, you know, but it's his first season. You know, last season you can just, we all have to put it out of our head. He didn't play.
Absolutely. He played three games. So
it's his first season in English football. He gives the ball away too much. I think he's going to learn that. I think in about 15, maybe 18 games played, we'll see his quality come through. I think from the new year on, we're going to see this guy start to win games for us. I really believe it. But I love his attitude. I love his work rate. Yes, he's making some bad decisions, maybe with a final ball. But look, I think it was Match of the Day 2. I watched again on Sunday night, and they mentioned about if you watch Lamella when Eriksen gives him the ball, he actually never looks up once. He never even looks at Chadley, but he knows he's there, and he gives a perfect pass to him for the goal. Now, that's quality. You know, he didn't even if you look back in the play before the ball was won, he never once looks over to see, but he's aware that there's a player there. And that's what I like about him. That's what he will give us. He will still make these wee silly mistakes at the minute, but he's getting better, and I'm well pleased with him, and I do think he's going to be a star for us.
Okay. I think I agree with the second part of that. I think he will really push on, but I'm not I think he could have done more already. Maybe that the soppy clearance when they scored. That was, you know, it's like, yeah, when we played West Brom last week, you know, their manager said, you know, they kept focused the whole game, you know, really concentrating. That was almost like one of the worst clearances I've ever seen. You know, he tried to flick it with the outside of his foot. You know, and it's like, come on, mate. You know, what are you trying to do there? And he kind of spun it back in. It was awful. You know, and we referenced Townsend, but honestly, if Townsend would have done that, I'd have to be sitting here going, you know, all is forgiven. Sorry for even daring to defend him, because that was absolutely atrocious. But because it's Lamella, you kind of give him a little break on that. The pass he made for the goal. You say he didn't look up or something like that. Well, yeah, fine, but it was a straightforward pass.
He did pass it
to Chadley, but it was quite a, you know, he didn't sort of, it wasn't like a Huddleston Hollywood style pass.
Yeah,
or a Fabregas, one of these curly, you know, inch perfect things.
He just passed
it to his feet. He should be able to do that anyway, shouldn't he?
Yeah, but I think what they're meaning by him not even looking, the glance of the players there, that shows the football brain, the quality that he has, you know, of his surroundings. You know, you think of some of the world-class players, like I say, even if you talk about Suarez, the things he had done for Liverpool. He had got the ball in the box without looking, and he had maybe given this killer pass to somebody, and you sort of would have looked and went, how did he do that? Even though it was maybe just a simple six-yard pass. It's the football brain. It shows the qualities there. But I'm not sure
about that, Carl. Yeah. I just think it was a simple pass, you know. Yeah. And great that he made it and everything, and I was happy for him. I'm desperate for him to do well. Because
I think the thing about the clearance as well, just while you were saying about it, which came into my head, that sort of clearance reminds me of a young Gareth Bale. When you think of Gareth Bale, when he was first at us, when he went through all those games without Spurs ever winning a match, whenever he played, they're the wee mistakes that Bale made when he was playing at left back or at left wing the whole time. You know, just that hesitance, you know, he hesitated just to do the right thing and maybe it just flicked off his foot the wrong way. Yes, I was raging when I watched it and I probably shouted at him on the TV, "Didn't you just get your foot through the ball, get rid of it." But it happens. He's a young player. He's learning his game. A bit like Ryan Mason, if he plays this week, he might make a couple of mistakes, but they've got to be given time. But the guy oozes quality. He does, and he will, I guarantee you, New Year we'll be raving about him.
Okay, mate. Fantastic. That's the Arsenal game, I suppose. You know, obviously we played Notts Forest. It was atrocious, wasn't it? Until Ryan Mason came on, he scored the goal. And then it was a brilliant tweet by somebody, saying, that it was funny that, Soldado's awful positional play and Townsend's awful shooting got the second goal because it was Townsend hit a terrible shot. By the way, about 5 minutes before that, he had a brilliant free kick, which if it had gone in, you know, I'd have been jumping around like. but he played a terrible shot, and then Soldado, you know, got it in, which was good. And then obviously Kane got the last one. So great, we're in the next round against Brighton. Just have to say, Bentaleb in that game, the giving the ball away so cheaply. It's a shame because we really want him to do well, don't we?
Even though I thought Bentaleb done really well at the end for us against Arsenal. Actually, when he came on, he looked confident and he actually had a bit of a presence about him.
Yeah.
And I think certainly you'd have been a lot happier with him coming on than the likes of Pellegrino. You know, when you think about it. But Forrest was hard to watch.
It'd be interesting seeing who against Besiktas tomorrow night. Because obviously a lot of these fringe players are going to play, and they're superstars, you know.
Yeah.
If Dembele plays, if Paulinho plays, Soldado, you know, and a lot of these Lennon, a lot of these players are going to play. And are they going to say, right? You know, well, because the best thing about Ryan Mason playing against Arsenal is it just shows you what you can do when you play in the midweek game. You know, exactly. Pochettino yeah. will pick you if you have a great game in the midweek. So, mm-hmm. blimmin' well, go out there and sort it out and be in the game and take shots and get involved, because you'll probably play on the Sunday because and there's a space for you in the side. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, and probably thinking about that, it was probably a very, very clever and good management thing from Pochettino. Was they maybe sat down with his backroom staff and said, here, look what this young lad did. And if you listen to what Townsend had said the week before about there's almost like a Thursday and a Sunday squad.
Yeah, and it's what we've said, isn't it? And when they play on a Thursday or a Wednesday, they think, well, I'm not playing on Sunday. Well, this proves that actually, if you do have a good midweek game, you're in. Have we got fantasy football?
Go and put the business in. Yeah, definitely.
Have we got fantasy football?
Yep, we've got fantasy football. I'll just do one wee quick shout-out before I have a couple of others for after. Unfortunately, Graham Wookie Lambert has moved on. He's no longer our admin on the Facebook page. So, look, really disappointed that Graham's left. Just want to thank you from myself and Steve, Graham. You've done a great job. You got our likes well up over the 2,000. You were posting every day. So, like, brilliant work, mate. Thanks very much. But, you know, we'll move on. We'll move on and we'll have to get another... You'll have to shout out for another admin, I think, Steve.
Well, actually, I've already made a call. And the guy has accepted.
Okay.
It's a good friend of ours.
Okay.
It is Mr. Andy Lillywhite Goldberg.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
So I was going to say, who have you got without me knowing? I was going to have to vet him.
No, I knew you'd like that one.
Yeah,
so, he's a good guy. Massive Spurs fan.
Yeah.
There you go. He went down to the town hall and changed his middle name by Depole to Lillywhite. So there you go. So Andy Lillywhite Goldberg, he'll be in charge of Facebook messages. Colin, if you put a message on there, you'll still put Colin. I often, my tweets go on there still. I don't know how to get that off, Carl.
Yeah.
I promise you. But, so keep that going, and Andy's going to do that. He said he'd give it a go, see how you get on.
Yeah.
And, we'll see how it goes with that. So that's really good.
Super job. I'm going to have to see. I don't know if Andy's in the fantasy football, but hopefully he will be, so we can give out his league standing and maybe give Andy a bit of abuse if we're above him, Steve.
Yeah.
So that's great news. But say last again, you know, thanks to Graham for all his work and wish him all the best. And
yeah,
I'm sure he'll definitely still be on the page commenting.
Yeah, no, Graham is perfect for us because he gave different opinions. He did different things on there, so brilliant. But fantastic. I think hasn't he been transferred to the Spurs Show podcast?
I don't know. He's away somewhere, but I might just have to take him out of the fantasy football league. I just delete him.
He's gone to the Real Madrid one, hasn't he? But we'll have him back. Anyway,
okay.
So let's fantasy football. How's that going?
Yeah, okay. In first place is still Jeff Fiskus, then Paul Burkett, Chris Roberts, Ulla Holtman, Claire Hillman, Marco Cazavillian, Jonathan Dunn, Robert Adolph, West Country Yid. I haven't said his name for a while, so I like that one. West Country Yid in ninth place, and then Colin Healy. At the bottom of the league is Daniel Russo, Michael Wells, Gemma Stubbles. I think Gemma's deliberately doing bad now. She just likes to hear her name read out. So, Gemma, get up that league.
She loves the fame.
Yeah, I'm Philip Cafe. With the most points this week, with 66 points, was Mark Sheridan. So, well done, Mark. League standing, Steve, you are in 131st place.
Yay.
So, you dropped down again. I've dropped down as well. Got it down to 50th. Down to 50th place. And would you believe it, the Spurs poet up to 39th.
Wow.
The Spurs poet's leading the way. And if Andy Goldberg, I'll find out if he's on the fantasy football, I'll get his standings for next week. If not, we'll have to get him to join in with it there.
He can take over mine. I'm clearly useless.
Someone's going to have to. I might get my Hannah, who's only 5, to take over. So fantasy football, great work, guys. Steve, can I do just 2 quick shout-outs?
Go on.
Okay, first one, a massive big shout out to at Afghan Spurs. Yeah. Obviously, you know these guys really well. Sent me a message on Twitter the other week. Look, these guys out in Afghanistan they're hoping and hopefully that they're all going to maybe get home by Christmas. And I think that's a big goal for them. But really what they want to do, they want to get up to at least 10,000 followers on Twitter. And I know they're not far off it. So guys, anybody out there listening that's on Twitter or who has friends on Twitter, get following at Afghan Spurs. And myself and Steve will always try and retweet any of their stuff that they do. They're big, big listeners to the podcast with us there. And I know Tom always, you know, always loves listening to the show. Yeah. So look, guys, get following. I'll put a message out on Twitter again for them as well and get their followers up there. And just one final one. Good friend of ours over here in Northern Ireland, Mark Nelson, who we've met a few Legends nights, myself and Davey. Now, yeah. Mark's in a wee bit of trouble. Mark's looking this shout-out done tonight. Mark was one of the culprits. You remember the Spurs poet started slagging me about having Arsenal players?
Yeah.
Well, this guy, Mark Nelson, was one of the culprits, you know, enjoying the crack, you know, with Davey there and, oh, Colin's a secret gooner and this and that. And then, you know, he's going over to watch Southampton this week and I get this little text, oh, Colin, could you do us a wee favour? And I'm going, no. So you slagged me off, you know. I said, you know, so remember, so look, we had a good laugh actually on text messages there. You know, I told Mark I'd get him back someday. So look, but the shout out is Mark's going over to the Southampton game and his dad Cyril's going with him, his brother Tim and his best mate Brian. So just give Mark a big shout out on the show there. And guys, have a great weekend over in Southampton. You never know, you might be lucky to bump into Steve.
Yeah.
Get down to Bellenhere for the game.
Actually, Bellenhere is no more because of the parking restrictions. They've extended the parking on that side of the ground so far that you just can't park anywhere near that side. So I've got to park over the other side. But the good news is that's where the Bill Nick is. Yeah. So I'm now parking over near the Bill Nick. So the Bilnik will be the new venue for the Hotspurs podcast.
Fantastic.
Pre-game cans of Fosters. So
yeah, that's definitely a brilliant pub. Love the Bilnik.
Yeah.
The
so Bilnik. So anyone listening who normally meets and comes up and says hello and asks me for an autograph in Bellenhare, I will now be in the Bilnik. So listen, mate. We've got what have we covered. We covered quite a few subjects there. Obviously we've got Besiktas coming up, you know, we've made our views, you know, about Europa clear, people still not sure about what we're trying to say here, but with the whole League Cup thing, what we're trying to say, I think me and you both, Cole, is that, you know, what is it, three games to Wembley, or four yeah. games to Wembley, where we can both go. And by middle of February we could turn around to everyone and say, well, we've won a cup, or there's, what is there, 19 more games to go in the Europa. And if we win it, fantastic, but you know, you've got no bragging rights, but fantastic for Spurs fans, of course. So that's where we're coming for with that
pick you up on about the bragging rights.
Yeah.
I thought about it after last week, and I know a few guys have said to you on Twitter as well. I disagree with you. I think we do have bragging rights if we win this trophy.
But the argument is, tell me an Arsenal fan that would say, yeah, oh, well done, you won that, yeah.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, but the thing is, say if they had won the League Cup whenever Birmingham beat them,
yeah,
they would have been dancing and bouncing, and they'd have felt that they had the bragging rights.
That's right, and
they would have. So look, there's no difference. This is the UEFA Cup.
No, it is different.
This is a European trophy, so there's massive bragging rights, and I want to win it.
But they're not really in that. They were in the League Cup. They tried to win the League Cup.
They might drop into it. You never know. I don't think so after tonight's result.
If they do drop into the Europa, then automatically, yeah, it becomes bragging rights again. Anyway, but I still want us to do well. Obviously, I do.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's just so difficult trying to, and with that, with this argument about Europa, it's not a case of just giving up on everything, But I just think it is a massive hindrance. And we've talked about the ins and outs of it. And all I'm trying to do here is just move the argument on. So last week, Cole, you said, you know, it's the players that we need to blame. And yeah. I am 100% with you. You know, with any of this, any time Spurs play poorly or any time Spurs do badly, me and you always blame the players, right? Because ultimately it's the players that should be motivated. And that's whether Pochettino is the manager, whether ABB is the manager, and by the way, whether Tim Sherwood is the manager either. So it's quite amusing to see all these people that say, oh, it's the players. Yet 2 or 3 months ago it was, oh, it's Tim Sherwood's fault. You know, which is it? Is it the manager or the players? Well, ultimately, of course it's the players. But once we understand that it's the players that are at fault, then you've got to think, why? Why are the players not up for these games? Then you look at, you know, the fact that they're playing in 30,000-seater stadiums in Far East Russia or wherever, in front of only 5,000 people, when the night before they were watching their nearest rivals play in front of 60,000 people in Germany or whatever. You know, that I'm just trying to move the argument on as to why. Why is it that we cannot get a result in Europa, and then we can't get a result at the weekend either? And that was our debate, you know, last week about it. But, you know, I'm sure we'll come back to that again next week, because we've got Besiktas on Thursday, and then we've got Southampton at the weekend. Southampton are flying. I've just got one little thing I want to say about that, Cole, right? And you know, this is going to sound like I'm against Pochettino. I'm not. But what I will say is this. There's two dressing rooms on Sunday, right? One dressing room lost their manager, okay? And what they're now sitting in front of is some guy giving instructions who is one of the greatest ever Dutch footballers, okay? Fantastic, brilliant Dutch footballer, who also, by the way, captained and is one of the most fantastic European Cup winning Barcelona captains, right? Absolute legend of football, Ronald Koeman, okay? The other team has got a guy who, all I know from his playing career, fouled Michael Owen in the box. Right? So, yeah. I just don't know where we've ended up with this, in this situation. And as coaches, Pochettino could be a million times better than Ronald Koeman. But when you think about both teams, you know, let's say that, you know, they both haven't got a manager in the summer, okay? And we go for Pochettino, and as soon as Pochettino comes to us, they go, right, well, we need a manager. And they get Ronald Koeman, who's like one of the greatest ever players I've ever seen play. You know, is a head scratcher to me. I just think, well, wait there, what's going on? Why haven't we got one of the greatest ever players of all time standing in front of our players going, listen, I've won the European Cup with Barcelona, I'm one of the greatest ever players, you know, you better play for me or you're out, you know. That sort of thing just worries me.
Yeah, no, here it's a really good point when you look at it that way. Obviously, because Pochettino had been at Southampton and the job that he's done, you know, that's why we were obviously a lot more happier to take the guy on. But you're right, if you had a choice, if you had never heard of him, he had never managed Southampton and done so well, and you had your choice of two, you probably, we had 98% of Spurs fans would have been shouting for Koeman because of who he was. But you're right, but it's a big game this Sunday, Steve, it really is. And especially against his old side, you know, it's not going to take that. As you said, everybody thought Southampton are gone, they're getting relegated. They're playing fantastic football again. Koeman's going to be up for it. The players are certainly going to be up for it. But, you know, I believe we've got the right man in our dressing room, and I think he'll have these guys. He'll know Southampton as well. And it's going to be an interesting game. But I hate saying it's a must-win game. We have to get a win, Steve. We have to get back on the win trail. That's why even tomorrow night against Besiktas, I want to see us get a result. I want to, and you know what I think? I want to see a performance.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit tomorrow night and be like the Nottingham Forest game. Like the Forest game, I just sat there, and even whenever Ryan Mason scored, I was delighted for him, but I didn't actually get excited about it because I was so down about the performance before it. I want to see a bit of energy, a bit of fight in them tomorrow night and then be off for this game, and they've got to go out and perform this Sunday, Steve.
Yeah, and you know what? If someone like Dembele or Poligno play great tomorrow night, I wanted to see him in the side on Sunday.
Yeah.
So the message is clear. If you play great, you get in the side.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And I want to see him before because you couldn't really drop Kapoor or Dembele. Yeah. But for Eriksen, quite simple. Yeah. Yeah, so, Lamella's going to start, we know that. But, you know, Eriksen hasn't been getting the balls in. He can't bloody hit a dead ball for Toffee. Uh-huh. So there's your place.
Yeah.
Play great in midfield, you get in.
See him tomorrow night, Soldado, Harry Kane. There's your chance. Put Harry Bayor out of that team on Sunday.
I would do that, actually. I would drop Harry Bayor for Sunday.
Yeah, so would I. But another thing, Steve, which I would maybe like to see at home, is let's put two up front.
Yeah.
Why not stick Soldado up with Harry Kane?
Well, I wouldn't do that. I'd play Eddie Boyle with Soldado, not with Harry Kane, because we saw that at the end of last year. But Soldado and Eddie Boyle, I think, definitely. Or maybe Kane and Soldado, I don't know. Maybe those two. I'm trying to cover all my bases now, just in case, because the Ryan Mason thing last week. But look, you know, let's have a quick prediction then. Besiktas, score?
I think we'll scrape a 2-1.
Okay, I think we'll lose 2-0. Okay. And then Southampton?
I think we'll, again, just scrape Southampton 2-1.
I think we'll win 3-2.
Okay.
Or 2-2. I'll go for a 3-2 for the Southampton.
And we need two as well on Sunday, Steve, is get off to a good start. You know, we need to be at it from the first whistle. That first 20, 25 minutes at White Hart Lane is always really important, especially with the crowd, because the crowd already, I actually think that's why we're playing better away from home, is because we don't have that pressure on us.
Yeah.
And it was there last season massively. And I just think if we could just get a really quick, good start, like we did against QPR, it makes all the difference to the atmosphere in that ground, and I think it makes it so much easier. So let's all just have a wee prayer on Saturday night and say, let us get off to a good start. A goal in the first 15, 20 minutes, and then we'll be rocking and rolling.
Yeah. And by the way, just to go back on this whole plan on Sunday, do you know the game that we're going to miss? One of my favourite fixtures of the season.
Arsenal versus Chelsea.
Yeah. I love watching that game because it's a win-win or a lose-lose, whichever way you look at it.
I know, I thought about Mr. Fabregas back against them as well. But it's always the way. But it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
You know, that
whoever planned that fixtures, one, whoever planned that one, that Spurs should play at the same time as Arsenal play Chelsea.
And tell me this, is Man United on live on Sunday again?
That's on at 12 o'clock, yeah.
I'm just going to say it again, it's ridiculous. They've been live every week.
Yeah.
And they've moved them to 12 o'clock to accommodate them being live again. Why not move us?
Put
us on at 12.
I know. No, we're not even on telling. Listen, mate. Human. Yeah. All right, mate. Well, you know, good one again. And we'll chat again next week. And then there's the old, the interlal once again. So, you know, we'll see how Northern Ireland get on.
Yeah, I reckon we're going to win the World Cup.
All right, mate.
Come on, you Spurs, a bit more upbeat. I want 3 points, and I want to beat Besiktas as well. So come on.
Yeah, come on, you Spurs.